All right, how we doing? We are back in this. So today we're going to do another gear episode. So we're just going to talk about ski stuff for a little bit here. Specifically a few skis that are going to be brand new to a couple different companies for next season. We're going to go into one from Rozzy, one from Blizzard, and one from Fisher. And I'm pretty excited about all three of them. I've had a chance to ski on all of them, and hopefully I'll get a chance to ski on them even more as we get going. But we'll start with the first in the line, which is actually the first that I skied of the group, which was the Rozzy Experience 94. The ski is completely redesigned for next year. They didn't have that width denomination at all in the lineup. It was 88. Up to that 100, which is a pretty big jump for a lot of people. And that 100 width ski has really, it's tough for just about every other company, I think, other than Nordica at this point. So they decided to bring it back a little bit. And that's kind of where most companies, I think, are going. Like, their bread and butter ski seems to be, especially out here on the East Coast, seems to be in that, you know, high 80s to mid 90 range. And that makes the most sense for people that want to be able to have something that's versatile and kind of do whatever they want with. In general, the skis that are in that category should be able to handle anything on the hill. They should be able to really, really, like, be able to hold an edge at high speed, be able to handle a different, I mean, basically just a totally wide open range of terrain. And I think for the most part, it's the most important ski width that there is. I mean, that 88 to 95, arguably up to like that 102, 104 range, is really where it's at right now in skiing. All the best skis, all the skis that people want to be on, a lot of the skis that you see the athletes that are skiing resort stuff, will be in that range. So specifically about the Experience 94, the ski has completely changed. Like I said, new width. For Rozzy, 94 right underneath the sole of your boot there underfoot. Fun, lively, a lot more energy than what Rozzy skis have had in the past. And in general, the old Experience stuff kind of feels, it felt a little dead. It was predictable, it was easy to ski, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't exactly an exciting ski to ski on. Like, you ski on an Enforcer, or you ski on a Brahma, or you ski on one of those skis, you feel the energy in the ski pushing you into your next turn. You always kind of felt like that Experience line wasn't the same, you know, it wasn't the same as that. You didn't feel as much energy. And I think with the new 94, you feel a lot more. Like, it's a lot more lively. It's a lot more fun. I actually really enjoyed skiing on it for the first time probably ever that I enjoyed a Rozzy ski. But, I mean, it was really nice. And I think their whole range of skis in that Experience line are going to do tremendously well next year. I like the new shape. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a bit more rounded than that blunt nose that they were sticking to for a long time. And they still have that blunt nose in a couple of the ladies' skis. But in the men's skis, it's a little more rounded off. It looks way cleaner. They still kept the air tip thing, and I think that's good. But yeah, I mean, they're going to kill it with that thing for next year. They're using something called LCT, which is pulled out of their race lineup. It's making the ski a little bit more reactive, I guess, a little bit burlier, and a little more fun overall. So I think we'll see what everybody else thinks once all the reviews come out in the fall. I'm sure they'll rank that thing up there pretty high. But we've been liking that one a lot. So the other ski we want to talk about is probably my favorite ski. I feel like I say that about everything, but it may or may not actually be true. The Rustler 9 is from Blizzard. It's basically the ski that they should have had this year when they released the Rustler series. This year it was a Rustler 10, which was 102 underfoot, and a Rustler 11, which was 112 underfoot. Both super great skis, lively, tons of fun, one of the best selling skis that we've seen in a while. And I love that thing. I mean, it's super versatile. When I was skiing down in Portillo, that was what I was on for the majority of the trip. It was light enough that I could put a tech binding on it and do a little skinning with it, throw it on my back, and not be worried about going uphill for a long period of time. Like, it definitely wasn't a weight at all. But once you click in at the top and you're skiing down, you can haul ass on that thing. And that's one of the biggest things about it was that you want a ski that's light enough that you can go up with, but burly enough that you can still ski how you ski. And I think they hit it right in the head. You know, again, we keep bringing up Enforcer because that's kind of been what the standard has been for like that mid-width ski for the last couple of years before it was Mantra. I mean, there's plenty of skis, you know, that are compared to as that benchmark. And right now Enforcer's the benchmark. I guess that's why I keep going back to it. At least in my perspective, I could be wrong. I mean, you could tell me that I'm wrong. There's a ski that you like better than it. I've definitely talked to people who don't like that ski, but you know, we sold a lot of that ski and that's the one that I think people enjoy being on the most in terms of something that's versatile and that you can do whatever you want with. Rustler was the first one that I kind of was like, this is here, you know, and it makes sense. I mean, they're in the same factory. Their parent company is the Technica Group, which is Nordica, Technica, obviously, and Blizzard. So they definitely borrow technologies from each other every once in a while, but it's not a ton. I mean, they're not the same company, and they're not, and I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. It's just they're similar, is all, and, you know, it's the same parent company. So, I mean, maybe it is the same company. Who really knows? Nobody actually gives you a straight answer. Anyway, that ski nailed it. It's narrower than the rest of the group. Obviously, the 9 indicator will tell you that it's a little narrower than the 10 that was available previously. It's a 92 underfoot, extremely versatile, tons of fun. Metal through the main section of the ski, but leaves the metal out in the tip and the tail to reduce the weight. And it makes the ski more fun, more forgiving, more playful. They're going to crush it with that ski. And it's black, which I know that doesn't really matter, but it's important. I just think that they should make every ski black at this point. I think they should stop talking about all the colors and all this other nonsense that doesn't really matter. But, you know, if you just make them all black, then everybody would be like, oh, wow, you know, there's not this like, oh, I don't like the color, so I'm not going to ski it because it's not as nice look at. I don't even know how to phrase that because it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's kind of the deal with that ski. That's you know, off the top of my head, there's not going to be anything that's going to rival that with that partial metal laminate core. There's a lot of other skis that are available in that category, so don't get me wrong there. I mean, there's the Nordica Navigator, which is a phenomenal option for price point, you know, for somebody that wants a good price point ski, even somebody that doesn't really care, that's a great ski. There's the K2 Pinnacle series. I mean, that stuff is all so good, but the Rustler 9 is totally on a different platform. I mean, it's just a better ski. It's more versatile. It's aggressive enough that you can ski as fast as you want on it, and you don't feel like the ski's chattering underneath you. You can completely lay out flat turns on groomers. You can do whatever you want with it. And that's why I think people are gravitating towards that more and more. You know, everybody that I talked to in the show and at the On Snow demo was talking about how good that ski was. Myself included. I mean, for sure, like, I'm sure you hear more good things about what you want to hear. But it was just good. So that's those two. I also wanted to talk about the Ranger Free 102, because that really surprised me. Like, I like the Ranger. There was definitely like a top sheet issue where they were scratching a little too easy because they gave it that gloss top sheet and it looked really sick, like on the floor. But even on my own, I could kind of see it starting to get beat up a little earlier than it probably should have. Again, that's not really a reason to not buy the ski. The ski is freaking bomber. Like, I mean, that thing crushed it. So I was a little concerned about what a lighter ski was going to do. Like, I didn't feel like that ski was too demanding. I didn't feel like that ski was, you know, that it needed a change. So when they created this Free, when I saw it in the catalog, I was a little concerned that they were doing a little bit too much. And it turns out I was wrong. It's a totally different ski. It's lighter weight. It skis similar to a Rustler. It's definitely more like a Rustler 10. In that range, it's not quite as burly, it's lighter weight, but the thing still bombs. It keeps the same Ranger profile, basically, just reduced weight. But ton of energy in the ski, lively. I mean, you can take that thing and do whatever you want with it. You can throw a touring binding on it. You can ski it in the resort. You can, I mean, you can take that thing everywhere. That width is still okay for the East Coast, so I think we'll still see quite a few people on the East getting into a ski like that, especially when you consider how versatile it is. I mean, you can take it wherever you want. And since you can, like, there's no reason to not, you know, sometimes people get a little scared of that 100 width category. And I get it. It's definitely not as easy to put up on edge and get a good edge hold as it is with something that's like, you know, 90, even 85 underfoot. Like, most skiers aren't skiing 100 width skis all the time. Like, that's like a newer thing. For those of you that don't actually know that, I mean, I realize that that's, you know, not everybody's skiing on 100 width skis all the time, and it's a luxury to be able to try all these things all the time. But so we get a little caught up, and I think everybody that does gear reviews, everybody that talks about gear, everybody that writes about gear is definitely guilty of talking about skis that people don't ski on, like, on an everyday basis way too much. You know, like, I hear it all the time about these skis that are like, you know, how great this DPS ski that's 132 underfoot is and all this stuff. It doesn't make sense. I mean, that's great, but there's more content on that 132 underfoot ski than there is on something that I'm probably going to be recommending to somebody that skis 10 days a year with their family. And that's the majority of people are skiing less than that. You know, they're not going out all the time. You know, like, there's people that are great skiers that I know that ski 5 to 10 days a year, you know, and they're just as good of a skier, you know, if not better than I am. You know, sometimes it just depends on, it depends on the person. So I do definitely think that it's reasonable that, you know, that people be a little cautious of that wide width. But this thing is so easy to turn. Like, it's so easy to put on edge. It's so fun. It's got a lot of energy. I think the new graphic is great. I know, like, it just said that doesn't matter, but I think that it's a good enough graphic to hit a bunch of different avenues in terms of what people are going to want. But yeah, that's kind of the program. I mean, it's like, that ski, you're going to be able to do whatever you want with. It's versatile, it's fun, it's lively, it adds something different to somebody's quiver. So if you are a guy that has a carving ski or a Beer League race ski or something that they just like want to rip on groomers, you can feel comfortable adding something like this to your quiver without it being overkill. Like, a lot of people don't want to add something extra. Like, they want to have one ski because they really only, you know, they only ski a few times a year. But realistically, if you're buying a ski that can do more than one thing, chances are it's not going to do all of those things great, right? If you have a ski that you know is great for those boilerplate East Coast days, I said Ice Coast, but that's kind of what it is, you know, and that's kind of what I mean. Most of the time, it's shitty. Like, the skiing's not that good. It's hard pack. It's, like, raining one day and 80 degrees the next day, and then it's minus 75 the next. Like, it's just, it's not good conditions most of the time. I mean, sometimes, like, don't get me wrong, like, March was phenomenal this year, and there was tons of snow and no complaints, and we probably should be talking about powder skis all the time. But to that point, if you have a groomer ski, like, if you're skiing on a 75 waist or 85 waist ski that's made to ski on hardpack, there's no fucking way that you enjoyed this March. Like, there's no way. Like, I always see, like I think it's Alta that puts out those, or Snowbird. Snowbird puts out those ads that are like, you know, one-star review on Yelp or Google or whatever, and you're like, and the review is like, you know, are the groomers all on strike or something? Because there's no groomed trails to really dig my edges into. Like, that's probably what somebody that has a narrow ski, like a very single purpose ski, is skiing on. I mean, because that's what the tradition is in the East Coast and a lot of places, is to buy a ski that's easy to turn because it's narrow. You know, that ski sucks when there's snow on the ground. And everybody says, like, oh, there's not snow. There's definitely snow days. It's worth having a ski that's versatile enough to take out on a spring day, on a day when you can go ski in, like, even if it's just a couple inches, dude, it's way worth having a ski that's fun, versatile, that you can take wherever you want on the hill. And if it's garbage at the end of the day and it's hard pack, you have your second pair of skis that's made for that job. And that's like, I know it's not, like, skiing's not cheap. We know that. That's not like news to anybody, but it's worth making the investment in a good pair of skis that will do the job for you. And I think that's why, like, skis like this Ranger, again, I keep bringing up this stupid Enforcer. I mean, it's a good ski. I shouldn't say that. That's not stupid. I keep bringing up that ski because it's so good in everything, right? Like, and in the soft snow, it's good enough. But, like, if it was a boilerplate hard pack day, I still wouldn't pick an Enforcer 100 over, you know, a carving ski. I'd pick my carving ski, you know, because it's better. It's made for that purpose, right? Like, when you have a bunch of screws and you need something that needs to be screwed into a wall, right, you're not going to go and just bash a fucking hammer into it. Like, it's just not going to be what happens, right? Like, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You got to use the right tool for the right job all the time. And skiing's no different. Like, it's everybody uses golf as a comparison to skiing, which I think is garbage. Like, I don't think that makes any sense. It's just because people are wealthy and they happen to go skiing and they also happen to golf. Like, and they, it doesn't make any sense. Point being, when you go to the driving range, you don't bring a putter. And that's the biggest thing. Like, it's like, why? There's the right tool for the job available. I get it. If you really can't afford it and you're buying one ski, buy a different ski. You know, like, don't buy that 75 width ski. It just doesn't make sense. And you should know that going in. I guess this has become more of a rant about what kind of skis you should be buying for certain conditions than it's become about the Ranger 102. The point is, Ranger 102 is the right tool for the job if you want something fun, playful, energetic, something you can take out when it's a sunny day and it's spring conditions. Bring out that Ranger. You know, it makes tons of sense in that 102 width. It's versatile enough that if we get a dumping, that's your powder ski. When it's a garbage day in December and there's hardly any snow and Mount Snow or Stratton or Killington's trying to open with one trail that you have to, like, walk down to and in your ski boots without your skis on, the ski you want is definitely not 110 underfoot. You know, it's just not. Ski you want is that carving ski that you've had. And most people have a ski that's made to do that because that's what everybody initially buys because that's what they learn on. That ski is still, like, that ski's still useful, right? When that ski needs to get thrown away, throw that shit away, you know, or you give it to somebody or you let somebody else use it or whatever. You know, there's other uses for them. I'm not saying, like, literally open your trash can and throw it away. You know, that doesn't, I mean, that probably won't do it for you either. But there's a use for it, right? Like, you got to use the right tool for the job. That's the end of that rant. I promise I'm not going to talk about that again. Ranger 102, great ski, definitely worth a look at. Ranger series, I feel like, is the most overlooked series on, at least on our ski wall. We kind of sell a lot of skis, so it's not really a humble brag. Like, I don't mean it. Like, oh yeah, like, yeah, there's people that sell more skis than us. There's people that sell less skis than us. But, like, point is, we sell more than one or two pairs of skis. So it's one that people overlook, especially in that category, because that width category is so popular, that 90 to 108 category is so popular. That's where most skis that are being bought currently are. I don't know why people don't look at that thing more, man. That ski is fun. Like, I mean, shout out to Fisher on a very mellow note. Like, they don't support us in any way. They don't do anything nice for, I mean, well, I guess they do. They do nice things for me every once in a while, but it's a good company. But point is, you should look at that ski more. That ski is a blast to ski on in the whole range, not just the, we're talking about the Ranger Free because the 102, because that's the new one for next year, but that series in general, look at that ski. Ton of fun, worth every penny, I think. I mean, but what do I know? Anyway, that's basically my rant on 100-ish, 90-ish with skis. For the time being, those are all skis that are brand new for next year. I'm really excited to get on them. Once I get this knee deal fixed, I'll be skiing on those things more, hopefully in time for the start of the season next year. But keep an eye out for them. I really think that anybody would be well served with any one of those three options. Obviously, like, when you look at it, grand scheme of things, I think the best option is the one that makes the most sense to you. And I guess that's kind of a broad statement, so let me clarify it really quick. Drop my pencil. The best way to make a decision on a ski like that is the one that you like the most. It's like taking a quiz in high school when they tell you, like, your first guess is probably the best one. Like, it's like, it really, like, there's some of that's bullshit. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But some of it, there's something there. There's something to that for sure. The one that you like is going to be the one that you like. Like, it's not going to change, right? Like, if you're in the shop, for example, and I'm telling you that I like the Wrestler 9 because I like it, and you think the color black is dumb, which you'd be wrong. I think that you, and I'll always advise this, you buy the one that you like, right? Like, I'm just here to tell you what I think and what I know based on the experience that I've had with it. Like, and you won't hear me tell you, like, I like the color. Like, when I'm telling you about a ski, when I'm trying to educate you about a ski so you can make a decision, I don't give a fuck about the color anymore because it's what you like. I'll tell you what people like in general, but when you come in, you should be talking to somebody in a way that makes them say, like, okay, like, these are the things that are important to you, right? And if color's important to you, I feel like I've been saying this a lot lately, but I think it's because I've been taking my own opinion out of it, that color doesn't matter, and realizing that to other people it does matter. If you like the color red, fucking buy the red one. Like, I don't know if I'm even allowed to swear on this. Like, we're probably going to get some kind of bad. I didn't even think about that. We're going to be okay. Ethan says we're going to be okay, so we're going to be okay. I don't even know what I was saying. Buy the fucking red ski. That's the point, you know? Like, if you're going to buy something that you don't like because I like it, am I skiing it or are you skiing it? That's really the question. Like, that's really the biggest thing here. Like, it's super funny when people are like, which one do you like better? It doesn't fucking matter which one I like better, dude. Like, that's the biggest. It's the biggest thing. It's 100% the biggest thing. Yes. Like, can I tell you, like, that technically I like this ski better because this one has, you know, has this in it. This one uses LCT. This one uses some other stupid acronym that's not necessary. Yeah, I mean, totally. That's what I'm there for and I'm using, I'm like the salesperson. Like, I'm not always going to be the guy you talk to, although in theory I should be, you know. But whoever you are talking to, their job as a salesperson on the floor or on the phone or online or on a chat or whatever is to educate you to the best that they can based on the knowledge that they have about the product and comparable products. It's not, Adam, what do you like? Because honestly, sometimes, like, somebody will give me a ski and I'll be like, this is the best fucking ski in the entire world because they gave me one. It's not like I want to do that. It's not intentional. Like, I'm not like, but in that day, like, you try it. You, like, you get a gift from somebody and then go and then tell me that you don't like it. Whenever somebody gives you anything, even if you have 12 of them, you're like, oh, this is cool. Like, even when you, like, that's a ridiculous, you don't have 12 skis, right? Maybe you do. And if you do, probably talk to someone. The point is, you really, really need to take everybody's opinions, right? As a salesperson, you need to take everybody's opinions and everybody's and all the information from all these companies and all the products on the wall and present it to you, the consumer, in the best way possible. Because what I think is the best beginner carving ski for you doesn't mean anything, right? Like, unless you like it. Like, I've had guys and girls come in and they ask me what I want, what ski that they should buy, and they just buy it, right? They don't even, like, look at the ski till they get home. They ski the ski, and then they hate it because they're looking at it every chairlift ride up, and they realize that the graphic is not something that they're into at all. That's huge, dude, because that's half the time you're on the hill. I wish it wasn't. Like, I wish there was 0% on the lift up, you know, and 100% on the way down. But that's not the reality. You're looking at the ski, like, almost probably significantly more, I would bet. Somebody should find that out. We should find out if – I bet you're on the lift significantly more throughout your lifetime than you're actually skiing, which is bullshit. Again, I have a big problem with that, like – it's part of the reason that I think the ski touring thing is pretty cool, because you're still skiing. I know it's uphill. It's a workout. And I don't really think I get the whole earn your turns thing. Like, I think that's kind of dumb too. Like, you're skiing, you know, like you're not getting punished, you know, like it's fun. I think going uphill is still fun. Like, it's a workout. Like, people that run get it. People that do any kind of work, like, you go to the gym. I don't think most people, you go to the gym, it's not fun, but you kind of feel like you're doing something. It's a sense of accomplishment. There's a reason that you're there. And I think the uphill thing gives you, anyway, this isn't even the point. What am I talking about this for? Point is, you spend a lot of time looking at your skis, man, like a lot of time. So make sure you like them. I don't even know how we got, when I go back and listen to this, I'll find out how we actually got to this point, but sometimes it just goes the way it goes. Anyway, so a couple other things. Ski season's pretty much done in New England. I think there's a few mountains still open. Obviously, the bigger ones are open, but smaller mountains tend to be closing down. Looks like Ski Sundown's down for the year. Blandford never opened. Otis is closed, obviously. I think Butternut's done. I heard Magic, this is their last weekend, but that could be wrong. So if you're listening to this before Saturday, April 7th, definitely check if you're planning on going up there. I really kind of doubt that there's going to be someone on here that calls me out for, like, hey, you're a liar. You said that Magic would, but it's the internet and anything's possible. And that's basically it. Mount Snow's open. Killington's open. Stratton's open. Those are all pretty good. Mount Snow, I looked at the base the other day, and it looks pretty good, man. Like, it's warm. I mean, but it's not that warm. Like, the season's still kicking around. So get out and go skiing. It's probably pretty fun right now, I bet. Spring skiing, if we can avoid having these windy, rainy, shitty days, then spring skiing is the best. Like, it's so much fun. That's like my favorite time to go skiing normally. Like, and if I wasn't all broken and shit, I'd be not doing this podcast right now. I'd be skiing, I think. And that's probably what you guys should do too. What else we got? Other stuff to talk about. We do have an episode coming up next week with Zach Hallett from, I hope I'm saying his last name right. Probably am. It's pretty simple looking, but he'll be on next week. He is opening his own shop. He actually was a sales rep for Black Crowes. All the sales guys groups. He was a rep for those guys. He was doing Black Crowes, Picture Organic Clothing, A-Bomb, all that stuff last year. And then he decided to move back home from Colorado to his home in like Rochester area, New York. So he's going to be opening his own deal. He was going to do it today, but then he said something about lighting, like he can't come because there's no lights in the shop yet, which I don't really know what has to do with the Skype voice call at Zach Hallett. If you're listening to this, which you should be. But yeah, that's it. So that dude, he's cool. He's got a lot of energy, man. He's super friendly, super personable. The name of his shop is Full Send Ski and Outdoor. They've got a website up right now. Definitely should check them out. And feel free to hit us up with any questions you think we should ask that dude. He'll be on next Thursday, I think, or next week sometime. I don't know. He didn't really give me a straight time. But he'll be on next week. We're going to force him to, even if he doesn't want to. He doesn't really have a choice. So anyway, that's about it. Make sure you follow us on social media, definitely on Instagram, because that's the easiest one for me to switch out of my own personal Instagram and onto the Out of Bounds Instagram on, so we use that one the most. The Facebook, for sure, we're definitely on. Twitter, we're on. It's all Out of Bounds, Out of Podcast, and it's the Out of Bound Podcast, just in case anybody didn't know what they're listening to and doesn't know how to read on iTunes or any of that. I feel like I'm rambling a lot today. I got a lot of energy. I've had a little too much coffee, probably. That's too much food in me, and it's a nice day, and I wanted to make sure we got this all out in one shot here, which I don't usually have a choice. We usually get it out in one shot. Anyway, yeah, make sure you follow us on all the social stuff, and keep an eye out. Tell your friends about this show so that we can keep doing it and getting our listener base up. I'm not usually asking for favors, but this is a favor. Help me out. Share it with somebody. This is the we're hoping to create a place for you guys to have the best information possible and the most real information possible on all this gear and with a lot of the people that make this whole industry deal work. So, yeah, tune in next week for sure, and follow us on the social. Thanks, guys. Bye.